It's Lake Effect from WUWM Milwaukee's NPR. Today marks the end of Jeanette Kowalik's tenure as the City of Milwaukee's Commissioner of Health. Kowalik, a Milwaukee native, took the job in 2018 after former Commissioner Bevin Baker resigned amid the city's lead crisis scandal. After 2 years on the job, Kowalik has accepted a position with a health policy organization in Washington, D.C. Not long after her resignation was announced, the Daily Beast published an opinion piece by Kowalik that outlined the difficulties she faced as the leader of the city's health department. Kowalik says she faced racism, sexism, battled misinformation about COVID-19, and budgetary challenges in addressing the pandemic. Kowalik sat down for a socially distanced conversation with WUWM's Susan Bentz to talk about the difficulties she encountered on the job and what's next for the city's health department. She starts by describing the reaction she received to her opinion piece in the Daily Beast.
Many of my colleagues and just random people in our community have been reaching out to me in support and thanking me for being vocal and honest about what I've experienced in the last 2 years in this position. As a Black woman in leadership, I know that this is not uncommon, unfortunately. I've had colleagues that also acknowledged that they were receiving threats of harm, that they were constantly having to prove that they were qualified for their jobs and not being fetishized or treated as if they're only able to do certain types of work because of their look or their who they are. So again, as a Black woman, being the commissioner, obviously that's the role that I had, but always having to validate and prove that I'm qualified and worthy of doing the job. That wears on you because you think about, if I wasn't qualified, then why did I get the job? And you know, there's these talks about imposter syndrome and all of these things. And when you also start thinking about other types of discrimination, and I mentioned this before, that sometimes people, when they think of being attacked, you know, racist attacks or sexist attacks, they always think of like the worst thing possible. And from my perspective, I'm looking at a whole spectrum of offenses, from the very small ones, from the microaggressions to more overt things that have been said to me, and all of that. So it's very concerning to me because I don't want others to be discouraged from moving into these positions, but I do want to put people on notice, the people that are allowing these types of environments, that we're going to continue to lose people because we also have a number of concerns of being safe and being able to focus on our jobs. We shouldn't have to worry about being harassed in a variety of manners. And I understand some men do that because they don't know how to process you. You know, they want to minimize you because you're a beautiful person or whatever, that you can possibly be intelligent. And that's, you know, it's, again, it wears on you. It's like death by a thousand paper cuts. So I just want to continue to encourage other women, other Black women, other women of color, other queer women to move into these spaces because we need to lead and our voices need to be heard. And I said this also, we had a talk in Cleveland about how we declare racism as a public health crisis. And I said, you can't be afraid to get fired. And that was my real mentality in this job, because I was so tired and weary. I was like, go ahead and fire me, do me a favor. But I'm going to try to live and lead as fully as possible until I can't do it anymore. Obviously the pandemic accelerated that. Just the level of stress and sacrifice was just magnified by 1,000. And I, you know, was able to at least do some things in this world to really protect our community, save lives. I'm thankful I was still able to do orders for the city of Milwaukee. But the long game is what needs to be focused on right now. So again, me moving back to DC, able to do national public health policy work with an equity lens, I'll be able to help give back to those that are on the front lines back here at home and everywhere else across the country.
So at a recent steering and rules committee meeting, Alderwoman Dmitrievich posed the question, how can the city of Milwaukee make sure that what has happened to you and others doesn't happen again, and that the city is able to attract and keep a diverse, talented pool of people to diversify and strengthen the city?
Part of creating an environment of inclusion and diversity is to prepare for it. You know, you can't just recruit and hire people from different backgrounds and think that that's going to fix the problem. There needs to be some preparation to be able to receive and support people like me in these positions. I know the city is committed to working on our own house, so the racism as a public health crisis declaration. There's a number of action items that are tied to that. Those action items were just getting going and then COVID hit. So I think we have to figure out a way to prioritize completing those to-do items, those five to-do items, the needs assessment, the recommendation report from the Equal Rights Commission, looking at hiring practices, professional development needs related to anti-racism work, looking at the policies and practices within each city department, and then helping other communities to declare racism as a public health crisis. There also needs to be some focus on the housing element. That was not included in our order or our ordinance, but it needs to be included in future ones, because we know that housing is health, and you can't even move into self-actualization if you don't have a safe place to sleep and stay. So, again, that's pretty much the longer answer, but putting the racism as a public health crisis into action that needs to happen ASAP.
So you returned to your hometown of Milwaukee to help the health department recover from a really tough spot, in particular the condition of its childhood lead poisoning prevention program. So how would you assess that program, the progress made over your tenure?
The childhood lead poisoning prevention program was the reason why the vacancy existed, right? So there was a lot of work that needed to be done. And some of the work, there was a lot of energy behind audits. I mean, I think there were like several audits that had occurred. There were like audits of the audits. And we're like, well, what about the kids? What are we doing for the community? We were very happy that Cole had stepped up to address this birthing moms pilot that needed to happen. That got stalled because of COVID, but that is still going to happen. So just, you know, that supporting the community, being able to be more collaborative instead of the health department just serving as a regulatory body, but really looking at, okay, what are some things we can do to really help our kids and our families that are hurting most? Looking at landlords' responsibility for covering abatement and not always using city funds to do that. We also know that there needs to be a strategic plan for the city, how we're going to eradicate lead from our environment. And that's including all sources of lead poisoning, paint, soil, and water. That is something that is in the works. It got again stalled because of COVID, but that's something that's going to happen. The lead program, the staffing, has been through a lot. You know, they've been traumatized. We have some new staff on board, new management. So the team is moving along. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done, because the lead program has a variety of funding sources. So making sure there's compliance across all those funding sources. We got the HUD money again, which was great. But just even this being able to bill Medicaid for lead poisoning services. I mean, just other ways for us to sustain the lead program. I do feel more confident that the program is headed in the right direction, but there still needs to be some adjustments to salaries, for instance. The lead risk assessors, they need to make more money to incorporate the more technical aspects of their job, so that's being addressed right now. Also, the technology, like the tools that they use for their job. Also, like we were looking at the collection of water samples in addition to the paint to be able to see if we are seeing any high lead and water levels at these properties. If you're not collecting, you can't say it with full confidence that you are or not. So just things like that, little adjustments in how we function as a program to really help guide the work that needs to be done. So I am happy that there's been improvements, but again, that work needs to be carried on.
You've touched on this, but during a Board of Health meeting earlier this month, a member of your team reported that the health department is well positioned to carry out the lead program efficiently and effectively, but with adequate staffing. So a number of positions are vacant. Is that correct? And can that be addressed, or is it a funding or a finding the staff and training them issue?
Yeah, it's a combination of the two. There's a certain skill set that's needed for that work. So, you know, there's a pipeline issue too. We want to make sure that we're creating, building up that profession, making sure that it's diverse, that people that are moving into these positions are from the community, and that they have the ability to give back. So how do you even become, you know, a public health employee or health department employee? So I think there needs to be some additional efforts to look at pipeline programs to get more people into these lines of work, especially the environmental, the more technical types of positions. But again, it's marketing what's available and really reaching out and helping people get what they need to be able to move into these technical positions.
Back to the department as a whole, you know, what are the components of its workings, of its programs, that are in greatest need of attention or improvement when you look across the spectrum of what the team is asked to handle?
Oh, absolutely. So the health department, when I came in, there were a lot of vacancies. I'm leaving. There's, you know, I would say the vacancies aren't as intense as when I started. That's because we have all of this additional money from the CARES Act to fill positions specific to COVID-19. But there's still areas that need care as far as hiring is concerned. We finally have a full HR team now, so that's going to be a big help, getting people through the hiring process, getting people onboarded, making sure that they're supported in their lines of work, having a full leadership team now, having deputy commissioners is really important because they are more operational in nature and they provide sustainability to the programs and services that fall in their wheelhouses. For instance, environmental health is Deputy Claire Evers, and then under her is the lead program and the food inspection program and public health emergency preparedness, having very strong management in those areas. And then, of course, being able to support the staff that are in the field or working remotely that are doing the work. So that's just an example of some of the improvements that have been made. But again, the health department's recruitment process and getting people through, that there's still opportunities for improvement to get people through more quickly. But we also want to make sure we're doing things the right way, so we're not bringing people on that haven't been vetted. We want to make sure, you know, the clearance is where it needs to be. And verifying education and training and all of that too.
Again, back to that same Board of Health meeting, when you were speaking to the board, you said that the internal public health department leadership team, and you've just referred to that, I think, is equipped to carry the department through this interim period when you are gone and the next person is not hired. So what makes you so confident that's the case?
Oh, so part of the reason in selecting them as deputy commissioners and a chief of staff was based off their skill set. I had this vision of what we needed, and I was very intentional about putting the pieces together to create this solid core of support. I'm a Gen Xer, so I like to use Voltron as an example of what this team is like. So they're pretty much these lions that come together to form the Voltron robot. So, but they all have different skills and they mesh well together and provide support. There is going to be one deputy that will serve as an interim commissioner. So who is that person? It is our community health deputy commissioner, so Marlena Jackson.
And how long has she been with you or with the team?
Oh, she's a newer recruit, but she has many years of senior level management experience. So she started in April, and then she came from Frederick Hospital. So we have someone that has the experience, someone from the community, and has a great, she has done a great job building that team out. So they can continue to function while she moves into the commissioner role. And of course, I will continue to provide support during this transition until a permanent commissioner is assigned. We definitely had this in mind that we wanted to create a bench or backup to the commissioner's office because that didn't happen in the past. Legally, we couldn't even do it until May of 2018. The council had to create an ordinance to support having a special deputy commissioner. So all of these things, again, that no one thought about until the vacancy occurred, and then there's like, wait, what? There's no one around to make decisions on behalf of the commissioner unless the commissioner is present. So, I mean, we're in a better place. Definitely more work that needs to happen, but we're in a better place.
So now, while I can still call you Commissioner Kowalik, I will ask, do you want to share any final reflections about being here, the contribution, the importance of public health here and everywhere?
Sure. So final thoughts. Again, it's been a very bittersweet experience. I'm from Milwaukee, Sherman Park. You know, I came back because of this vacancy that was created due to mismanagement of the lead program. So definitely that was one of my priorities. Just knowing that the department is in a better place than it was in when I inherited it in 2018 gives me some comfort, but I also know that there's a solid leadership team in place now that will continue to support the mission and the vision of the health department, the living your best life, Milwaukee, and we're in a pandemic that's gonna be around for a while. You know, and how can we do that in a safe way? So just reinforcing the messages about prevention of COVID-19 through mask wearing, hand washing or sanitizing, distancing 6 feet. We're concerned about the wintertime, obviously, about the indoors versus the outdoors. And what can be done to help prevent the spread of COVID-19 the more and more we learn about this virus? So I know everyone's on pins and needles about a vaccine. We're not going to promote a vaccine that's not safe. We want to make sure the vaccine goes through the FDA trials, just like any other medication. And then also, being able to come back to the place where I started my career is very rewarding. You know, I went through a lot of unnecessary drama and sacrificed a lot, but I wouldn't have had it any other way. So I'm, again, grateful for the opportunity to come back to my hometown to serve in this capacity. It's been 2 years, it feels like 20. But I'm grateful for the opportunity. And I just, again, want to encourage people too. I know a lot of people are suffering and have lost hope at this point because of what's happening with this pandemic. And I just want to encourage people to really reflect on what is it that's causing you the most concern. Maybe it is your job. Maybe your job is stressing you out. Maybe the environment's very toxic. Make a plan to get out of that situation. It's not worth your health being compromised or losing your family or damaging relationships that you care about. So thank you.
Jeanette Kowalik is the outgoing City of Milwaukee Commissioner of Health. She held the position for 2 years and today is her last day on the job. She spoke with WUWM's Susan Bentz. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at wuwm.com.